Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? And He loves you.
Good evening, and thank you for tuning in to There's Nothing New Under the Sun. This is yours truly, Pastor Z, in the Sanctuary Studio in Landover Hills, Maryland. I'd like to wish everyone a happy Thursday, and truly, this is the day that the Lord has made. We shall and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Also here with my big sister, Sheila G. How you doing, Sheila G.? I know that's right. And we're also here with my good friend and mentor, Dr. G. How you doing, sir?
We're blessed.
Amen. We're going to get right into this word. So let us have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name that we humbly bow and thank you, God, for another privilege, another opportunity to get together and study your word. And God, we pray that you will bless us, that we will be able to study to show ourselves approved unto you, that we can be workmen that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing your word of truth. Bless us, God, that we will be able to apply this word to our lives, share it with others. And as always, God, we pray that this will be done to your glory. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Just blessed to be able to study the word of God one more time. I'm always reminded that God says that heaven and earth will pass away, but the word of God will stand forever.
Amen.
And so we are basically standing and reading and observing the word of God that is eternal.
Amen.
And the word of God says the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are unseen are eternal. And so we thank God that through the power of his spirit, we can see God through his word. Amen.
Amen.
And this is a great chapter, chapter 11 of the book of Matthew. And it talks about John the Baptist.
Mm-hmm.
John the Baptist was a bad man. Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. He was the forerunner of Jesus Christ.
Yes, he was.
And he was about his business.
Yes,
he was about his father's business. And, you know, when you look at, you see how Jesus himself talked about John the Baptist. And, sometimes it's good for us, Sheila G, to look at the example that John the Baptist wasn't the Messiah,
mm-hmm.
but he played a huge role
in
preparing the way for the Messiah.
That's
Amen.
Right. That's right.
And we, Dr. G, should have the same mindset that we're preparing for the coming of Christ.
Amen.
For his return.
Amen.
That we should be have the same zeal that John had that, hey, you know, we need to tell people to repent for the kingdom of God. The kingdom
hand.
Of God is at hand.
All right.
Be willing to, you know, like Jesus called the Pharisees, whitewashed sepulchres full of dead men's bones. Be willing to put it out there. And like we were talking about when we were at your anniversary, that the church would have some type of swagger.
That's right.
We need to have a faith swagger that, you know, this is God, and there's nobody greater than God. And what God can do, nobody can do.
That's right.
Somebody can scream and run around the room.
Amen. Amen.
There's
Amen.
Nobody greater than God.
There
and nobody can do anything. There's nothing that God can do. So let's look at chapter 11, a book of Matthew, beginning at verse 1. It says, "And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their city." And so here we get again seeing Jesus relentlessly preaching and teaching. Dr. G, I don't know what it is, but God chose through the foolishness of preaching, teaching, to confound the wise and to get his message across. But what is it that we don't like teaching? What is it that we don't like preaching? What is it that, that we don't want to hear? We'd rather be entertained than taught and preached to.
Well, you hit it right there. You know, we want to be entertained, because when we are preached and when we're being taught, we have to take a look at self and face some truths that we really don't want to see.
Wow. So Sheila, what I found out is that once you get some good teaching, it's like you want more.
That's right. And that's kind of what the preacher was talking about this last Sunday about being chosen for a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
You thirst for it.
Yeah.
Your desire, and it's not your flesh, it's your spirit. You become hungry, and that void starts being filled, and you want to learn more, and it's no longer about being entertained. It's about growing in the spirit and growing closer to someone, like nurturing a relationship.
Yes. And I think as the church body, in order for us to grow and be able to have what it takes to be encouraged to go out and to preach and teach, is that we need to spend more time at Jesus' feet.
That's right.
Amen.
Getting taught, sitting down at his feet, getting taught his word, and taking the time out to put on a calendar that I need to make myself available to be able to get taught. I know when we were going through seminary, Dr. G, when you were going through your college courses and university, Sheila, that the professors, they were willing to teach, but if you didn't show up,
it was on you.
They was getting paid anyway.
Amen.
And they would tell you that.
They give you a
syllabus.
And say when this was due,
Amen.
And it was up to you to make the effort
uh-huh.
to be able to get what they had, what they were trying to teach you.
That's right. And that's why I always tell people, it's not like high school where the teacher might or may not track you down. When you're in college, they give it to you, and you can come to class or not. You can study or not. Either way, it's on you.
There's
no begging and pleading at the last minute. When that final is in front of your face, it's final.
Amen.
And if you haven't prepared, if you haven't listened, if you haven't asked questions and gone over and over and over again, you're not ready to receive that degree or whatever to receive to go out. And it's the same thing with this. If we don't digest it, how are we going to draw others to Christ?
Amen.
We have to learn about His word. I know I can read the same scripture 50 times
Amen.
And still get something different out of it.
Amen. And that's the thing is that you never can fathom. You can't get to the depth of it. You can just keep going and going and going. And the more you go, God says that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And so Jesus is continuing to preach. He's continuing to teach. And that's what we have to do. We have to be willing to continue to preach, continue to teach, continue to proclaim this gospel so that those that are in darkness can see the light. And see, we have to understand that when we're preaching and teaching, we become the light that shines in darkness.
That's
in other
right.
words, when we become illuminated by the word of God and we begin to preach and teach, what happens is we're like streets of light
That's
in
right.
darkness. And so what happens is we're not like that city that's hid. But we should be like a city that shines our light in darkness. We should be that beacon that when people come in contact with us, they should be able to see the light of God because we spent so much time with God.
Amen.
Right.
You remember how Moses, when he went up on the mountain,
that's right.
how his countenance had changed so much that he had to put a veil over his face.
Because
he had spent so much time with God, that he said, "Don't talk to us. We can't take it no more."
Amen. Amen. Well, you know, too, you know, I was sitting here thinking that the charge that we give to preachers when they first get their license, you know, It says to preach in season and out of season. And basically, when you feel like it, when you don't feel
like
it. Our job is to preach it, to tell the story about Jesus.
Amen. And Jesus set the example.
Amen.
That's the key. An example. Too many times people that are in the church, they say, giving their life to Christ, so they may preach it, but they don't live it.
Mm.
And so one thing may be coming out of your mouth, but if you don't show that love and compassion
wow.
like Jesus did, there's too many people that are self-righteous. Once they arrive, then someone's struggling.
Oh,
like,
boy.
Okay, well, maybe they'll come, maybe they won't.
Oh,
but I
boy.
Doubt it. But, you know, people can always change. And we don't believe that. We believe that, well, once that person did all of this, then, okay, I'm going to tell you about it, but I'm not going to continue to encourage you because I don't think you can change. That's not how Jesus was.
Amen. Amen. And he always
was. Always loving and compassionate.
Loving and compassionate.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Always.
And sharing the good news.
That's right.
And so this Jesus is teaching and he's preaching. And so now the transition is coming from where John is going to decrease and Jesus is going to increase.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a lot of time as our problem is we don't want to decrease.
Nope. Oh, say it again.
So that Jesus can increase.
Say it again. Say it one more time.
I think some of the problem is that we don't want to decrease
right.
so that Jesus can increase. And it's not a thing of diminishing us. It's
mm-hmm.
a thing of servitude.
Amen.
And that we're serving the master. We're serving not as in slavery, but we're serving out of a reverence for him. And so a lot of times people want to be large and in charge.
Hello.
Amen.
You know, when you come to church, it's me that's preaching.
Come
it's
on.
Me that's singing. It's me that has the best clothes on. It's me
Hello.
That gives the most money.
Yeah.
It's me that
yeah.
has the best
me,
makeup
me.
On. It's yeah. me that has the best. It's me. Look at me. And I don't come to church to be a servant or to worship God,
come
but
on.
I come to look at what? Me.
And I want you to look at
me
and
right.
I want you to praise
uh-huh.
me and praise everything and give me all the accolades as if I didn't instead of given to God be the glory, instead of saying, okay, if there's something that you see that I've done that has touched you or moved you, don't give it to me. Don't give the glory to me. Give
Amen.
The glory to God, because I'm just a vessel
Amen.
That God has used.
And Jesus, and when I read this chapter, Jesus got excited about John the Baptist.
Yes, he
mm-hmm.
did.
And I asked my question, the question to me, and I asked it to you. Does God get excited about your ministry?
Hello. Hello.
Come on now.
That's the question.
That's a good question.
He got excited about John the Baptist.
Uh-huh.
I mean, does God get excited about my ministry?
Amen. Uh-huh. Amen. That is a good question because it makes everyone take a look at what we're doing for Christ.
Amen.
I mean, really, really. I mean, gee, when you read, it's like, whoa. He's like, yes, John is on it.
Uh-huh.
Can he look at me and say, yeah, he's on it? He's like, mm.
Come on.
Say, preach a little bit of Jesus and a lot about me.
and the excitement that he has. And so I want Jesus to have that same excitement that he had about John the Baptist about me.
Amen.
Amen.
I don't know about anybody else.
Amen.
That's right.
I want him to say, Pastor C, oh my goodness.
Come on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
Not for an ego thing, but just to say that he is that excited about someone that he would. Let's read it. Matthew 11, verse 2. Now, when Jesus had heard in the prison, now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? So John knew that what the Old Testament prophets had prophesied, he knew he was the forerunner, and so he sent his disciples to say, is this it? Is this the one that's
mm-hmm.
coming? And so, you know, you can ask Jesus those questions, and he sent his disciples to ask Jesus. And Jesus responded in verse 4, Jesus answered and said unto them, go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. In other words, there was no question that Jesus was the Messiah or the Christ of God that God sent, that he had prophesied through all the prophets down to this time.
Mm-hmm.
There was no question. And he said to his disciples, go and tell them what you saw me do.
Hello.
Right.
Amen?
Amen.
See, that's the attitude that we should have.
That's right.
So we should be able to go and tell somebody what we saw God do.
Mm-hmm.
Is anybody tracking me on that? See, I've seen him do some things. See,
right.
I can't speak for you.
Yeah.
You can't speak for me. But I've seen it, what he can do, amen, for
amen.
Me.
Amen.
Somebody get ready,
amen.
Get excited. Am I the only one excited about this? Amen. To be able to tell somebody, he said, tell me, he told his disciple, go and tell John what I've done.
Amen.
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 Right.
See, that's all we're supposed to do. We're supposed to go and tell the story about what Jesus has done for us since he's come into our lives.
Amen.
And even before we knew him, he knew us.
Amen.
Somebody said he took care of me when I couldn't take care of myself.
That's
still
right.
Does.
Amen.
Still does.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. G, I'm going to preach tonight.
Well,
go
you
ahead,
know,
sir.
You hit on something because I believe, and, you know, when folk talk about all that they go through, the trials of tribulation, and that's why I tell folk that, you know, you count all of that joy because that is your story.
Right.
And everyone they should have a story of how far God has brought them. And see, and you know, my story may not be the same as Jessica, but yet we've got to be bold enough, like John, like Jessica, to tell our story.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, we can preach, we can teach, but if folk don't see it, and the best way to get folks' attention is after we tell our story, let them see how we live.
Example.
Amen.
The example.
Amen.
Example. And even when you look at John in prison, for him to still have that desire, that yearning, that wanting to understand, and God responded because he knew, just like in 10, at the end of 10, sometimes as a servant of God, as a preacher of God, you do get tired.
Yeah,
right?
You need that water.
You need that water.
Yeah.
And that was the way Jesus was giving it back to him. It wasn't that John was doubting him, but he was in prison, and you know he was
needed that encouragement.
And he just needed that encouragement.
That's right.
But he knew where to look for that encouragement. And a lot of times we don't. We'll go ask our boyfriend, our girlfriend, our Susie down the street. But he turned to Christ because he's like, okay, I'm starting my emotions.
I'm winding down. Yeah.
I'm winding down. I know you are, so I'm going to send out. I can't go to you.
And that's real.
But I'm going to make a way that I can get word from you.
That's real. And we live, I tell people, we live in a real world.
Yes.
We hurt.
Yes.
We have emotions.
That's right.
We get tired.
That's right.
We get frustrated.
And
we get angry.
Wear you out.
We get worn out. We live in a real world. Just because you're saved doesn't mean that you're exempt from the emotions. As long as we're in this flesh.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
We're going to have issues as far as is running down, but we can always talk to Jesus.
That's right.
Amen. And draw strength for him.
Exactly. And that's what he's doing. He's drawing strength. Him, regardless of the fact he could have been in prison and given up, but he didn't.
Yeah. And then Jesus goes on to tell him what he did. He said, tell him what I did.
Come on.
Oh my God. Look at verse five. Look what Jesus, and it's in red in my Bible. That means that Jesus said it.
That's
amen.
Right.
He said the blind was what? Receive his sight. Come on now.
Yeah.
Huh? He said, go tell John that I am the real deal.
Yeah.
Amen. I'm not talking about perpetrating a fraud, but the blind have what? Received their sight, and the what? And the lame walk, what?
Uh-huh.
The lepers are what? Cleansed. And the deaf what? Hear. The dead are what? Raised up, and what? The poor have the gospel preached
to them.
Amen.
Oh, Jesus got some swagger, y'all.
Come on.
Amen.
He said, go tell John this is what you saw.
Uh-huh.
Amen.
Paint the picture.
Come on, paint the picture.
So he can see it while he may be in prison, but feed his soul, feed his spirit.
Amen. And we've seen so many times in our churches, in our ministry, people who are going through how God blessed them and turned their situations around and made their testimony and healed their bodies and their minds
and
their souls and saved people that were going in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
And God turned them around and God gave them a new walk and a new talk and God gave them a fresh anointing. And it's something that only God can do.
That's right.
And
that's
so
right.
When you begin to start telling people about things that only
God
can do, amen.
Right,
amen.
And that's my thing about why we cannot judge people, because you don't know what God can do in that person's life. All you have to do is plant that seed, and God will water it, and if it's in there and they go through enough, they will turn it around and not look back.
Amen.
build from it. Sometimes the strongest people in the Lord are the ones that have been through.
Amen. And you and God never gave up on us.
That's right.
Lord,
don't give up on
somebody,
each other.
Somebody get ready to run down the highway.
Amen.
Now. God never gave up on us.
That's right.
I'm going to say that one more again.
Amen.
God
never,
never gave up on
never.
Us.
Amen.
Never.
Amen.
Amen.
Dr. G, I don't know what it is, but the angels inquired. He said, "What is man?
Come on,
that God would come visit him
That's
and think
right.
so much of him.
That's right. That's right.
Who is man?
Who
that God loves him so much?
Mm-hmm.
Made just a little lower than the angels.
Amen. And we don't seem to get it. We don't understand it. Because if we did, we would not be doing the things that we're doing.
And
it would all be about the Lord.
And that's to see that's how precious we are to God.
Amen.
This is
right.
your theme of your anniversary. We are a royal, a chosen generation,
a
royal people.
Come on.
A holy nation.
Yeah.
Chosen for a purpose.
That's right.
That's who God says we are. It's not who we say we are.
Right.
Amen.
That's who God says we are.
Amen.
We're fearfully and wonderfully made.
Amen. And so when we look at this thing, like, God is Jesus. He told John that, yes, I am the one. I'm the one that has been prophesied. I'm the one that came down through these 42 generations after prophet, after king, after judge.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the one that the bloodline followed all the way through Abraham, Isaac,
Amen.
And Jacob, and came down through all the tribes, and even through the tribe of Judah, that the lion of Judah is on the scene.
Amen.
Lord,
Amen.
Have mercy.
Amen. And then it's like, it just kept us on by Jesus saying that. That gives those disciples that John sent more power to spread the word as well. And not only to John, but just that's why we should be encouraging each other within the church.
Amen.
For that one purpose, for that one to draw others and build on each other, encourage and say, your testimony, my testimony,
yes.
his testimony. Yes, I saw this child that was sick this healed.
Hallelujah.
I saw somebody that didn't have a dime.
Hallelujah.
They lost their house. Now they're working and have a roof over their head. I've seen that. That's the thing that we should be doing to encourage each other instead of tearing each other down.
Amen. And this is what Jesus did to bring that water to
Jesus. Amen.
Right. To encourage him. But I think too many times we just get so mealy mouthed and
Hello.
Down and pessimistic.
Pessimistic.
And
we just get negative.
Negative and, you know, nothing's right in the church.
Right.
Everything is wrong in
yeah.
the church. He can't find the ability to say amen.
Mm.
I can go a whole church service and won't say amen one time.
Come on now.
Sometimes some Christian
Come
people
on.
Could be some negative
Hello.
People. There was just on my job yesterday, they provide food to different health services in Texas. Health service, and they hadn't paid something or something, and the woman sent this nasty email to the company.
Wow.
Ended it by saying, God bless.
Uh-oh.
And it says, that's just health system, whatever.
Oh, my goodness. With all that hate.
And hate.
Spewing all that hate.
Email, then you end it with that.
God
and
bless.
And I said, you send it to somebody that maybe they're teetering.
I don't want to even look at a guy
right.
like that.
Maybe they're starting out in the and you just push the other direction. And people need to be aware of that. If you're going to represent Christ, represent him. If not, leave it alone.
Full time.
Mm-hmm.
And so Jesus will brag on John some more. And again, we have to examine ourselves. Is Jesus ready to brag on us?
Come on.
Is he ready? Is he ready to tell some folks about our ministry? Now, this is not us bragging on ourselves, but this is Jesus back bragging
right.
on us.
Hello.
And so he can already put some heavy stuff on him about John. So in verse. He said, and blessed is he who shall not be offended in me. So he's setting the stage that says, just like John, anybody that's not offended in me, and we talked about that in chapter 10, is blessed. In other words, you're not ashamed of the gospel
that's
of
right.
Jesus Christ.
That's
when
right.
Paul picked up, that changed his whole
Hello.
Attitude.
Yeah.
When he picked that up, he said that I'm not ashamed of the gospel of because it is the salvation unto God. In other words, this gospel word is what changed a spiritually dead into becoming up.
Amen.
The word of God. Inherent power. And so here he is in chapter 11, verse 7. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning us. Now, what is Jesus saying concerning us?
Come on now.
What is Jesus saying concerning us? Can we look up in the mirror and say, Jesus is king to someone concerning me, that he is pleased with me?
My Lord. My Lord.
We're going to step on some preacher's toes tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Preacher, can the preacher stand up and say the preacher was pleasing to him? Or have we gotten so sedity, high and pious and caught up in our self-righteous? Man, they get caught up in themselves and not doing a thing for God, but all to puff and swell themselves up.
That's right. You know, you hit on something that ought to be quiet. But there's so many of these, you know, we as preachers have to start at home first. We got to start with us. And when we look at us, so goes the church. A lot of churches, these so-called potentates, these bishops, these pastors, these reverends, you know, we have gotten what we are down here for. You know, it's not about folks to pat us on the back. It's about the fancy titles
Uh-oh.
That we get. So where we try to outdo one
Uh-oh.
Another. It's not about going to Hampton and lying about our work and giving for our anniversary. It's about that. It's about trying to win souls for Christ.
Amen.
And if we, who are the leaders, the preachers, you know, would step out that sedidiness, that righteousness, it's like we say, it's all about, you know, those titles not going to mean anything to you when you die. And you stand before the judge seat of Christ.
And he getting ready strong, because John, he was 800.
So
he in locust.
Come on.
And he had on camel's head.
Yeah.
And he was just a plain servant.
Amen.
He didn't come $800 suit, come fashion, be late and walk
come
down.
On. Come on.
To say, look at my suit.
Come on.
Or look at my dress.
Mm-hmm.
For people to say, oh, you look so good.
Mm.
Look what he said about him. Let's look what he said in verse 7. And when he departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitude, what went out into the wilderness to be a reed shaking with the wind? In other words, what did you expect to see out there? Just read anything in the wind, but a lot of times when it's all about us, that's how effective our ministry is. It's just a little weed shaking wind.
Come on.
When you're serving God,
man.
But what went out to see a man clothed in raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in king's houses.
Well.
He said, what did you think he was going to? Because John was calling him to know.
Yeah.
He said he called them vipers.
Generation
of vipers. He said,
hello.
It was like, where everybody going out here and being baptized and repenting? He said, who told you?
Come on.
Generation of vipers. Called them bad and they're going to come out there with their highest stuff and blow him over.
Ain't that?
But Jesus said, but come on now. This is. To say, I say again, more than a prophet, for this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger for thy face, which shall prepare the way for me. In other words, this is the man, the prepare of the way all the prophets pointed to.
That's right.
This is what Malachi pointed to, said that a lion must come first.
Uh-huh.
This is the man. All the other prophets.
Amen.
Lord have mercy.
Amen.
John was a bad man.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. And so all of these scholars, they should have recognized who he was.
Amen.
But they were so caught up ourselves. And this is where the church is.
Amen.
We're so caught up in self and the flesh.
That's right.
That we can't see the spiritual
right
in front of our face.
Amen.
Right. Right. And as humble as he was, his role was way more important than them as potentates.
Fix it up.
He was a presenter of so he was humble in the way his raiment, the way he looked, the way he was right to speak.
Yeah.
But he wasn't all puffed up. But his role was huge because he presented Jesus. And he did it in with such humility.
Yeah.
Whereas they were looking for somebody to ride on a white horse, they were all puffed up and everything. But to see how God chose the humble to present Jesus.
Amen.
So he presented the king in his lowly role.
Something? And what are we supposed to do? We're going to get to that in a second. Let's go down there. Let's go verse 10. For this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way before thee. Verse 11, verily I say unto you, among them that are born of woman, there hath not risen greater than John the Baptist. What? Notwithstanding. He that is least in the kingdom, and here we go, we're going to mess everybody up. He that is least in the kingdom of heaven is what?
Greater than he.
So what he's saying is John's role came, all right, and what you were saying, he was a great, all right, he was the forerunner. But he's saying that we that have received Jesus, in other words, that part of the word is passing off the scene. And now we have a greater position than those that were. No, we have a new covenant in the blood of the resurrected Savior.
Amen.
So he's saying that when he's talking about the least, he's saying that those who have received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. In other words, John has his disciples, but the disciples of Christ are greater than the disciples of John the Baptist.
Mm-hmm.
And so what he's saying is, great as John is, we have a greater responsibility. We should be even more humbler. We should be even
more
on fire, more powerful, because we have the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit within us.
Right.
Amen.
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 And so what we have to understand is that we have to recognize the power and the authority that we as believers who have been born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, have.
Mm-hmm.
But I think sometimes we just don't realize.
No.
I think we think we're just like everybody else. But your theme for your anniversary is you're chosen for a purpose.
That's right.
Amen. Amen.
And you have to dig in to find that purpose.
Right. You have to seek it.
So that you can understand that even the least in the kingdom of God is greater than that old covenant.
That's
Amen.
Right. That's right.
Oh my God! I think I said too much.
You're doing all right.
But you have to realize that authority has been given to us. Can you imagine if John the Baptist would have seen? He didn't see it.
Mm-mm.
We have the New Testament and New Covenant where it was seen, where the Holy Spirit has come, where Jesus is dead, where he had his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came and the church was born.
Right.
And so now we have God in us, with us, all the time.
All the time. But we have to recognize it, and we have to tap into it. It's just like the light. If you don't turn it on, it's going to stay off, but it doesn't mean the light's not there.
Yeah.
It just means you haven't turned it on and you haven't said it.
And can I throw something in? When you look at John, and understand why Jesus came this way. John was real.
Yeah.
He was serious about what his mission was. And he didn't overstep his bounds.
Yeah.
He knew
that's right.
He knew that he was a servant. He
they
knew that
name.
He was not greater than the one coming. So he presented Christ.
Mm-hmm.
But when you fast forward to where we are, you know, we have lost our minds.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we want jets, and we want the church to buy it.
Because I have the faith to buy it.
Right, and, you know, got an old one, but we want a new one.
And if we don't get it, that means the church didn't have enough faith.
You know, we're not real. We're not as serious as John was about this thing.
Oh,
and if
God.
We could get there, We could turn this world upside down.
Right.
And so John, as he's passing off the scene, he said the one when he baptized Jesus, he said, "I'm not worthy to untie
right.
his shoe."
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Behold, the Lamb of God
mm-hmm.
that takes away the sins of the world.
Right.
I'm not worthy to untie his shoe.
Mm-hmm.
And to have that humbleness.
That's right.
And yet still have that boldness.
That's
yeah.
right.
Is what God is looking for. Let's go to verse 12. And Jesus is still talking to John's disciples,
mm-hmm.
and he's telling them that we need to expect that this thing is going to be a battle.
Amen.
And that's one of the things I think we've gotten soft. We don't have a swagger.
Right.
We're so soft. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
We're so soft. We don't want to go tell somebody that they're going down the wrong path. We run when the Jehovah's Witnesses come our way. We run when the Mormons come our way. We're so soft.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to understand that this gospel thing, like we're talking chapter 10, it's come to pitch families against families. This thing is rough, and Jesus used the word violence.
That's right.
Are we ready for violence? Is the ministry? Are we ready for that? Look what he says in verse. Look what he says in verse 12. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, what the kingdom of heaven what suffereth what violence, and the violent take it by what force. Let's think about that for a second. Think about that. He didn't say we were going to be soft.
Mm-hmm.
He said it's suffering violence.
Mm-hmm.
And in other words, there's things that are coming up against the church that we just can't stand.
Come on.
We have to be willing to stand up and through the power of the Holy Spirit
mm-hmm.
come against these things
right.
and do the spiritual warfare, but you know, we don't do spiritual warfare. We do flesh warfare.
Ouch.
Yeah. And one of the biggest things is that fleshly tongue.
Oh, boy, we talked about that Sunday. That little
pink number. That pink.
That no one can control.
That cannot control and actually turns people the other way. That's why it's more important that you live that life before someone versus trying to beat them over the head with the Bible, trying to tell them how wonderful you are instead of pointing to the guy. One of the best things you could do is tell somebody you've been there. Let me tell you stuff that I've been through.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you the mistakes that I've made. Let me tell you the direction. But let me tell you how God brought
me out. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
So if you present that humbly first, I can receive that. And then you can point that person in the right direction. But too often,
mm-hmm.
we want people to follow us.
Uh-oh.
And not follow God.
Wow. And to understand that you know, that's why we need to keep bringing that water. This is war.
Amen.
There's no glamour.
No.
There's no glamour in war.
No.
Uh-uh.
And you know, just to be sobering, you know, people die in war.
Hello.
Yeah.
And because this is a spiritual warfare, what happens? People are dying, going to hell.
Amen.
Can I breathe this
Amen.
That brief
right.
and blunt?
Yeah.
And so when we wake up, do we say this is a spiritual warfare, but we have the victory, but God is wanting me to be used by Him to wage this spiritual warfare?
Amen.
That's why He gave us that whole armor of God
All
to
right.
put on, that we
right.
can do battle
mm-hmm.
in the spirit
mm-hmm.
realm. But I think we're just soft. We don't want to put no armor on. we don't want to pray. We don't want to read the word. We don't want to talk to anybody about anything
uh-huh.
about Jesus. We'll talk to them about the Orioles. We'll talk to them about the Golden State Warriors. We're
That's
talking
right.
about Kobe's Kobe. 60. We're talking about Michael Jordan's throwing shade. We're
yeah.
talking about RG3. We're
yeah.
talking about Tony Romo. We're
uh-huh.
talking about, you know, the New England Patriots.
Uh-huh.
We're talking about everything else. Tom Brady. Deflategate.
Yeah.
You know, we'll talk about the soap opera.
Yeah.
We'll talk about the draft, the NFL draft.
Yeah.
But we don't understand that this is a violent ministry that we're in.
It does.
Amen. Amen.
And you know, one thing to do keep in mind is that's why people don't want to come to the church, because of the stuff that's going on. Like you said, we've become too soft. Now, we ought to be out there telling folk about the goodness of God and how we can have the victory. But we're too busy raising hell in the church because we can't do what we want inside the church.
Amen. It's not about what's inside the church. It's about what's outside.
But violence. Speak violence. One thing you're going to do, you're going to stand up to it or you're going to run.
Amen.
Right. Right.
We can't be terrorized.
No.
He said, but look, he says, from the time, look at that. And from the days of John before until now, what? The kingdom of heaven suffereth what? Violence. Did anybody know that it was in there? That it suffered, that we're suffering violence. And what? And the violent take it by what? Force. So what are we going to do? Where's our swagger? Where's our, you ain't going to kick my butt, I'm going to kick your butt. Go back to David. David, who is this circumcised Philistine that comes against the armies of the Lord? I'm going to go because my father, he allowed me to kill a lion and a bear.
Yeah, that's what he said. And stood up to that giant.
But see, we can't stand because we don't know nothing to stand with.
Oh, you got to have the equipment. Like you said, when we stand with the wrong stuff, like when they try to put when Solomon put that stuff on David, he was like, oh, that's too much armor.
And tried
all, I don't need all that.
And
that's
tried
the thing. It's like we get puffed up with all how we look, the $300 suit. And David's like, I don't need all that. All I need is what God gives me. And if it's a rock and a sling, sometimes that's all it is. And it may not look fancy. It may not look good. It may not anything that you want to see, but it's effective. And it's effective not for me, but it's effective to point others to Christ.
We got to get unsolved. We got to, this is violence, and they take it by force. And it's like, you know, when the enemy comes in, you know, we need to, God will lift the standard, but God is expecting us to stand.
Amen.
Let me say that. I'm going to slow that down. When the enemy comes like a flood, God will lift the standard.
Amen.
But it's up to us to what? Stand.
Amen.
Amen.
And not get wishy-washy and weak-kneed and fall down off the standard.
Amen.
Is somebody trying on me on that tonight?
And
amen.
And that's true. And it's not to say that you won't get tired. And it's not to say that you won't get emotionally tired. But that's when you do like John did. It's like, okay, Lord, I need reinforcement. Remind me again. Remind me again. Because sometimes you just get tired.
And then he said, having done all the stand,
right.
Stand some more.
Some more.
Come on.
And you pull again, but you got to have that knowledge. You got to have that relationship. You got to have that word so that when you do become weary and when those darts do come at you, that you have something to pull on, that you can say, okay, I'm tired. Okay, let me take a breather. Let me take a step back and get my oomph back so I can stand and fight the enemy. Because the flesh is weak, but I need to refill my spirit. Feed my spirit. But if you don't, well, like you said in the beginning, get under good preaching, get under good teaching, good prayer life, you have nothing to draw to build from.
Then with that, we've got to make up our own minds that we're going to follow Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
pick up your cross, just like chapter 10, and follow
him. That's why, you know, after I went through what I went through and the Lord kicked my butt, and he told me, go get your folk. Mm-hmm. I said, all right. That's why I'm having a one-on-one.
Yeah. And we got to be willing to pick up that cross. And then we got to be willing to help each other along the way.
Amen.
Because
mm-hmm.
it is violent.
Yes, it is.
Ministry is violent.
It's rough.
It's
no joke.
Look at folk like, what? He said it suffers violence.
Amen.
And the people take it.
It's spiritual warfare. War is violent. It is violent.
Look at that verse again. Verse 12, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. In other words, it's a constant clash. I think it was Genesis 3:15, where it talks about the serpent shall bruise his heel,
that's right.
And he shall bruise his heel.
Well, that's what it's saying in
13.
The prophet
prophesied
unto John.
It is coming, and there's a battle. But we got to stop being so soft. No, we need to wage war in the spirit,
right.
In the name of Jesus,
mm-hmm.
by his stripes. We got to get the word of God to come out of our mouth.
Right.
You know, it's in our mouth.
Right.
You know, the word of salvation is in our mouth. But if we don't speak it, you know, then people aren't going to get it.
Amen.
Right.
We have to be bold enough to stand up when corruption is in the way and say, this is what thus said the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the prophets used to say in times of old. They say, well, thus said the Lord. They talked to whatever king it was,
mm-hmm.
whatever pagan it was.
Mm-hmm.
They said, this is what thus said the Lord, and spoke it, amen.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of what the attack would come,
right.
they speak the word.
That's right.
Yeah. And the sword of the Spirit is the what? The word of God.
Thank
yes.
you. Thank
is.
You.
Amen.
Got to know
you
the word.
You have to know the word.
We got the whole armor. God says we got to do some battle, child,
mm-hmm.
honey, child. We got to do some battle.
Amen.
What you got that sword in your hand for?
Come on,
it's not just some jerry.
That's right.
A cane for you to look cool.
It's in the belt.
Lord, mercy.
Mm-hmm.
Take that joker out and use it, because the kingdom suffereth what?
Violence.
Amen.
And the violence take it by what?
Lord.
We got to get into battle.
You've got to consider, too, when you look at that, look at what John had to deal with back then. You had the Pharisees,
oh,
you had the Sadducees, you had those, you know, them religious folk who thought they had it all covered and knew everything about the Old Testament. He had to deal with all of that. Then fast forward to where we are. So look at what we have to contend with.
Same thing.
And nobody's going to give you anything.
No.
And with technology now, everybody can have the Bible in their phone.
Come on.
Right there in your phone.
Yeah.
On your wristwatch.
Yeah. Too easy.
Mm-hmm. Still won't pursue it.
We'll throw our sword in the back of the truck, in the back of the car.
With the Bible.
Or under the Sunday paper on the coffee table.
Amen.
And we'll pick it up next Sunday morning.
Come on.
Amen.
But if we go down to verse 13, he says, for all the prophets and the law prophesied unto John.
Yep.
He said, all of this is pointing to John.
Mm-hmm.
All of this word is leading up to him. All of this battle against the coming of. Like I said, they had to come down through 42. You know how long 42 generations is? That's a long time. You know all the violence that tried to stop that bloodline?
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
They tried to stop Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
They tried to stop Isaac.
Amen. Yeah.
They tried to stop that became Israel, became the 12 tribes of Israel.
Yeah.
They came through the dividing of the when Solomon came and divided the northern from the southern kingdom, and you had the tribe of Judah and then the northern getting taken into Babylon captivity, and then the southern getting all of that through Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, through all of those people being enslaved up until this time through the Roman government and persecution of Herod that tried to kill all the unborn. All of these things that tried to violently stop the bloodline of Christ.
That's right.
Amen.
Through 42 generations. Look at how God kept weaving that bloodline all the way through.
Yes.
And they tried to snuff it out.
Amen.
By violence.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. But God has a way.
Hello.
Yes, he
Lord have mercy.
Yes, he does.
I mean, when Jesus was born, they tried to try to kill him.
Yeah.
When Moses was born, they tried to kill him.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
And it was just violence all the way through the story. The Bible
uh-huh.
is filled with violence.
Amen.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
But when you look at David was at a point where he was facing a giant for his life.
Yeah.
Come on.
Amen.
But that bloodline kept on coming through.
But God.
And so we said all the prophets and all of this came through the prophets. And so when you look over the history through the story, through the best-selling book that never stops being sold, the gospel is plain,
mm-hmm.
even that a child can understand.
Mm-hmm.
But if we don't present the story to the child,
right.
how will he ever know?
That's where it starts. We need to start entering it into our children, and then you wouldn't have children shooting children because they're looking at them. Enter it to them, and you just introduce them. Yes, we all go through what we go through and start to have to figure things out. But at least if we put that salvation in there, well, we don't want to do that.
Lord have mercy, I done ran my mouth tonight. We're gonna go to the phone line. We're gonna go to the studio audience first. We're gonna ask the question. Do you have some John the Baptist in you? Do you have some John the Baptist in you? From what we heard tonight.
As 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. We are afraid in a lot of cases to stand up like John the Baptist and tell the truth.
Amen.
Because we're scared we may offend someone.
Hello.
Or we will be ostracized.
Amen.
For standing up for Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And the word that's presented. And we as Christians, we are going to go through a fiery trial. So we have to stand up, stand firm, keep that arm of God on, as it says in Ephesians 6, chapter starting at the 12th,
right,
that we cannot cave in.
Amen.
We are soldiers.
Hello.
Of Jesus Christ, just like John the Baptist.
Right.
And if it means that we go through a little fire, well, so be it, because we will be victorious.
Hello.
Amen. Come on, get that swag back, Terry.
Amen. I would definitely say that over the years, I've kind of developed more consistent traits of somebody who would, you know, not all the way John the Baptist, but better than where I was before. But I think the thing that you had touched on, brothers, is that sometimes we get scared because it depends on where we are. It's the environment.
Right.
If
That's
we
right.
were in church all day long, it wouldn't be a problem. But you have your job. You have other family members. You have, you know, things of, you know, people who are non-believers. So I think of times we get scared because of the ridicule and what we face, but that's making it about us as opposed to understanding what the big picture is, because
there
see you have an issue with it or you're scared, but understand it's not about you and you're scared about what you signed up for when you decided to be a Christian. And I'll use myself as an example. Half my uncles, they're all different religions. They're I think they're Jehovah's Witness or something like that. And I'm like, man, y'all grew up in the same household and half of you guys and then, you know, I've had people say, well, look, you know, when we have family gatherings, you know, don't say Merry Christmas or then. I'm like, no, I'm like, you know, if they want to come, then that's what it's going to be. It's going to be Merry Christmas. You know, birth of Jesus Christ. But it's not to offend my family, my blood, but it's just the fact is that I'm not ashamed of who I am and what I represent, because at some point I began to realize, like, you know what, it's not about me, because if I'm in a room full of 10 people, I might be able to touch one by speaking the word of God.
That's
and who am I to decide when it is okay and when it and when it's not and when it's appropriate, when I'm doing the work of the Lord and I have my commandments and I have my instructions as to what I'm supposed to do. So it's almost like if your boss says, hey, look, I want you to do this, it's like, see that? It says other aside. Meaning that outside of your job description, I can pull this trigger anytime I want it. Whether you like it or not, if I give you these instructions, this is what I expect you to carry out. So I think a lot of people have to realize that it's not about you, it's about bringing people closer to God. So if you have to stand up there, if you have to let your light shine, then so be it. Because ultimately, God wouldn't do that to you.
Amen.
Bottom line.
Amen.
Got a little swag.
Come on.
Church. Man, well, this thing's hot tonight now. Lord have mercy. All right, we got to go to the phone line. We're going to go to the last four digits, 1924. 1924, you are on the air. You got a little bit of John the Baptist in you.
Good evening, everyone. I like to feel like I have a little bit of John the Baptist. Like Brandon said, I don't know if I have all of John the Baptist, but I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of people calling me a holy roller. I'm not ashamed of people saying, you go to church every Sunday, you know, you don't must not have fun, or you need to do this, or you need to do that. No, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of Jesus Christ, because he's done too much for me to be ashamed
Amen.
Of him and his word. So while I'm still working on being as much as John the Baptist was, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for your
comment tonight. All right, we're going to go to the last four digits, 1741. 1741, you're on the air. Tell us about the John the Baptist swag that you got.
Good evening, everyone. I'm not ashamed of the word, and I'm certainly not ashamed of the gospel. And in order for Jesus to get the glory, we do have to be John the Baptist, have the attitude and the behavior of John the
mm-hmm.
Baptist, so that we can be true servant. And when we decrease like he, you know, he had no problem in that. Because he knew who he was. He knew who Jesus was. He knew his purpose. And when we know
mm-hmm.
our purpose and what we are called to do, we don't have a problem in letting Jesus get all the glory. And sometimes being in that uncomfortable position. But,
mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes people like worldly favor, they'd rather have the world praise and
that's right.
Admiration, and they rather please man. I guess what I'm trying to say, they're more concerned about pleasing man than pleasing God. But John the Baptist came with a mission, with a purpose, and
yeah.
he told them.
Yeah.
He had holy boldness. He told them what
yeah.
what he came for, and he wasn't ashamed of it. And so that's why Jesus wasn't ashamed of him, because he knew John the
yeah.
Baptist was not ashamed of Jesus.
Amen. 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 Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to the last four digits, 9772. 9772, you're on the air. Talk about that John the Baptist.
Yes, good evening. I may not know that I was afraid of being John the Baptist, but I'm learning to be during the study. And I'm not afraid to say a word and speak out for Jesus. Even my niece didn't scare to even talk to my children, but now I stand in front of him and I look him eye in the eye and I talk about Jesus all the time.
All
so
right.
I'm standing, no, I'm not afraid. I'm afraid to be. I'm getting to be strong each day.
Amen.
That's all I can say about
all right.
it.
Thank you for your comment tonight. I was talking about. Look at my eye to eye. Amen. Lord have mercy. Last four digits, 7971. You're on the air. Tell us about your John the Baptist swagger tonight.
Good evening, everyone. I have always been very outspoken when it comes to God's word and living a righteous life. And anytime you affect your little kids, I have a flashback of my little nephew when he'd see me coming. He said, "Don't get on if I started," because he knew that they'd up and fly right, because you have to be bold and victorious when you're going to live a righteous life and humble yourself to let people know when they're wrong. You can speak God's word and stand on it, not be ashamed. Feelings going to get hurt. People are going to talk about you, but you still
yeah.
have to stand tall and let them know who
Amen.
You are and whose you are. And if you can't accept
right.
that, you got a problem. And don't let
right.
that problem be your problem. Because John the Baptist was, he wanted them to know who he was. And if you want
mm-hmm.
to live that kind of life here on this earth, we're non-exempt from the criticism for standing up for the Lord. And I can relate to Brandon when he was saying about different faiths in the family.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to want to recognize and respect theirs, knowing that it's not of God. And if you're not bold enough
mm-hmm.
to stand and say, "This is who I believe in and what I know,"
Amen.
You got a problem. You got a problem, but
that's right.
I know I've been a John the Baptist for a mighty long time. Never change. Never. Never.
Amen.
Well, thank you for your comment tonight. All right. We're going to go to last four digits, 7373. You're on the air. Tell us about your John the Baptist swagger tonight. 7373. Be listening in. All right, we're going to go to 6726. 6726. You're on the air. 6726, you out there? We're going to go to the... Hello? 6726? Can't seem to get them right now. Yeah, all right, 6726, you out there? You still out there? Hello? All right, we're going to go to next caller. Last four digits is... 7348. You're on the air. 7348. All right. We must be listening there. We're going to take one more, and that's going to be 7876. 7876. You're on the air. Must be having a problem here on that end. But Sheila G, Dr. G, our time is up. It has been a powerful session.
Amen.
Amen.
It goes fast when you have fun.
Yeah.
Right. But we look forward to getting into the Word. And like Dr. G said, it's only just 1 hour.
Amen.
Right.
It's just one hour.
1 hour.
And it does you a whole lot of good. I know it does me good.
Mm-hmm.
We just pray that we would continue to be able to experience the power and the presence of God through studying His Word.
Amen.
So we're going to close out with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, that we thank you, God, for allowing us to study one more time. And Father, we pray that through the power of your Spirit, you would just allow the Word to find a lodging place in us, God. Oh, God, we would be able to draw strength from this Word that we experience tonight through the power of your Spirit. God, we pray for everyone that participated, whether it's in on the line or wherever they may be, God, those that will dial in later on to the archives, God. We pray that you just give us that holy boldness, God. God, help us to be strong disciples after you, God, that we would be able to realize that we have the power of God within us and that we should be like light shining in darkness, that someone come to know you in the free pardoning of their sin, God, that we would speak the word with boldness and clarity, God, that they would be pricked at their hearts and come running, I yield, what must I do to be saved? God, until then, we pray that you would continue to bless us throughout the rest of this week and the beginning of next week. Bless us, God, that we may worship you in spirit and in truth. And, oh, God, we pray that you would receive all the honor, the glory, and the praise. Bless those that are traveling, God, with traveling mercies. And until we meet again, God, we say, may your love, the grace of our Savior Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, continue to rest, rule, and abide with us both now and forever. And the redeemed of the Lord say, amen.
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 And amen. Good night,
amen.
Everyone.
Night.
See you on next Thursday night.